Family service. Not yet, you don't need it yet. Yeah. Tonight's family service, the theme is Holy Days and Holidays. And as you can see, there's a lot of people away on holiday. This is the holiday season. And our word holiday is taken from the idea of holy days. Days that were set apart from the usual routines. The usual busyness, your usual work, they were set apart for God. And I'm sure that, you know, most of us anyway, look forward to holidays. You know, if we think about why we go away on holiday, you just move it on, Gary. Usually it's an opportunity to get away from home, to get away from work. So rest and relaxation, R&R, that's one of the reasons we go on holiday, you know, to perhaps go somewhere new, to explore new places. We went up to Scotland at the beginning of July. It was the first time that I'd ever been on the west coast of Scotland. It was somewhere new. And, you know, we get the chance to explore somewhere different, whether that's in the UK or abroad. And often we like holidays because they give us the opportunity to spend time with friends and family. So, you know, there's different reasons, different purposes, I think, for holidays. But I think for most of us here, that's, you know, why we go on holiday. And I'm sure you'll be pleased to know that holidays were God's idea originally. He is a God who rested on the seventh day. It tells us in Exodus 20, verses 9 to 10, 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, yeah, even the animals got a rest, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Okay, the Israelites were commanded repeatedly to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. How did they do that? What did it mean to be holy? It meant to set aside, to set apart that day so that it was different to all the other days. And that's, you know, quite hard to do, I think, nowadays. You know, we've got this whole 24/7 culture thing, haven't we, where we're always working, or, you know, shops, we expect them to be open all the time. But God still wants us to remember the Sabbath day. We need that day not simply to rest, but to remember what God's done, to refocus our lives, to put our attention back on God. That's one of the reasons we come to church. You know, why we take the time to reflect and remember what God's done for our lives. But God also planned for longer holidays than just that 1 day a week rest. And in Jewish times, there were three main annual festivals when they were expected to go to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage. In Exodus 23, they're listed, you know, it says 3 times a year you're to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. So that was the Passover, celebrating the Passover. Celebrate the festival of harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the festival of ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in your crops from the field. 3 times a year, all the men are to appear before the Sovereign Lord. So we're going to be looking a bit about those Jewish festivals. And if anybody wondered, that's why there's a tent at the back for the kids to play in, okay? Because as we'll find out, tents or booths or tabernacles were part of those festivals. In addition to that, later on in Jewish history, they also had the festival of Purim. That was to celebrate the fact that God rescued the whole Jewish race through the Queen Esther. Okay, in the book of Esther, we read that Haman was plotting the downfall of all the Jews. He wanted to get rid of all the Jews. He wanted to see the nation obliterated. But thanks to Mordecai and his niece Esther, who became the queen, the Jewish people were saved. And that festival is perhaps the one which corresponds most to what we would think of as a holiday these days. Gifts are exchanged. And as in, you know, so many of the Jewish festivals, the highlight is a really nice meal, a really good meal. Also, you know, that includes drinking wine. In fact, you know, apparently the rabbi said that although moderation is required throughout the year, on Purim it was permitted to drink wine until you didn't know the difference between blessed be Mordecai and cursed be Haman. So, you know, it was one of those times when everybody let their hair down and had a good time. So the first thing, really, to think about is that holidays are God's ideas, and holidays are very closely linked to celebration. But celebration for the Jews wasn't just about having a rest. It wasn't just about going to new places or being with friends and families, although, you know, all of those things probably were included in the celebrations. The difference, I suppose, between a holy day and a holiday is what you choose to celebrate. And God wanted his people to have the opportunity to celebrate who he was and what he'd done for them. So these three festivals, the first one, the most important one for all Jews, was obviously Passover, the feast of unleavened bread. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 1, "Observe the month of Aviv and celebrate the Passover of the Lord your God, because in the month of Aviv he brought you out of Egypt by night." And he gave them, you know, quite strict instructions as to how they should celebrate Passover. And that included, obviously, eating bread made without yeast. It included eating lamb, because obviously the blood of the lamb had been smeared on the doorpost to rescue the Jews from the angel of death. That was how they had sort of got out of Egypt. And so they had to eat this roast lamb, they had to eat the unleavened bread, and they had to do this, you know, for 7 days. The central part of that celebration was the Passover meal, the Seder. And then they would read the book of the Song of Songs. And obviously, in doing all those things, they were remembering what God had done for them. They were remembering God's amazing deeds in delivering them from Egypt, from captivity. And so Passover was a very important festival, a very important holy week for the Jews. The festival of Ingathering, the next one, that's got several different names. Sometimes it's known as Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles, or Booths. In Hebrew, it's known as Sukkot. And in Leviticus 23:24, it says, "On the 15th day of the 7th month, the Lord's Festival of Tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. And that festival commemorated not only God's kindness in providing food for his people, because it was the festival of ingathering, getting the crops in, but it also celebrated how God had protected them during those 40 years in the wilderness. And during the festival, they would read out the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, I don't know about you, but Ecclesiastes is not the book that I would choose to read at a celebration, okay? Because the key word in Ecclesiastes is everything's meaningless, okay? But even in that book, you know, it's teaching us that everything apart from God has no lasting value. And it talks about, you know, enjoyment being from God and pleasure being God's idea. The fact that God's a God of blessing who delights to say yes. And holidays, you know, need to be that time when we focus on God and let him speak into our lives. And this is the festival where the Israelites camped in tents or tabernacles or booths, as they were known. And that's what that picture is there. It's essentially, you know, poles and fabric and leaves, and it's a tent, which is why we've got a tent at the back. And the kids later on, when we're doing our quiz, they're going to be making a collage tent. They're going to be making their own booth, their own tabernacle. And it was quite important, this idea of camping out. Perhaps that's, you know, where the idea of having these Christian gatherings in tents came from. You know, the one event and spring harvest and all that, where everybody goes to a field and camps and then goes and has, you know, listens to God's word and so on. Perhaps that's where the idea came from. The last festival that was celebrated annually was the Festival of Harvest, or First Fruits, sometimes known as the Feast of Weeks, in Hebrew, Shavuot. And that too was connected with agriculture. Leviticus 23 and verse 10 says, "When you enter the land I'm going to give you, and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain that you harvest." The priest had to wave that sheaf before the Lord so that it will be accepted on your behalf. And that feast corresponds with the harvest of barley in the land of Israel. And barley was one of the first crops that was reaped from the winter sowing. And the priests would harvest the first sheaf, bring it to the temple as an offering to God, because basically the nation was then thanking God in faith for the coming harvest. And that festival also later came to commemorate the giving of the Torah to Moses 7 weeks after the Exodus from Egypt. And during that festival, the book of Ruth would be read out. And we can see why that is, obviously, because Ruth talks about how, you know, she's rescued, she gleans the wheat, and that's how she meets Boaz and he helps her, and this whole idea of the heritage of God's people and how God continues the line through Boaz and through Ruth. So I think the idea of first fruits as well obviously has great significance for us. Paul says that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of all who've fallen asleep. So each of these Jewish festivals has got a sort of a corresponding idea in Christian festivals as well. And so each of those pilgrimage festivals remind us that God's plan is for us to holiday with him. Yeah? Each of the festivals were designed to focus people's attention on what God had done for them and to remind them of the fact that they depended on him. You know, they were very connected to harvesting and agriculture with food and celebration. And that reminds us that we depend daily on God for our lives. You know, we often forget perhaps that link with agriculture nowadays. You know, we think, well, food comes from the supermarket. Well, yes, but where does it come from? How does it get to the supermarket and so on? We really need to remember that it's only in God that we live and move and have our being. Anything which reinforces the understanding that without God we can't do anything is really important. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And festivals and holidays are important because they need to remind us of our dependence on God. And the Jewish holy days remind us that rest and relaxation have their origin in God. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, God isn't that slave driver wanting us to keep on working and, you know, like the Egyptians wanted the Israelites to make more bricks and make more bricks and do it this way. And even without the ingredients you need to make bricks, you've still got to make the same number of bricks. God isn't like that. He's the one who gives us rest, who restores our soul, who refreshes us. And holidays also remind us that enjoyment and celebration are God's idea. Yeah? He's all for festivities and amazing meals. We're really looking forward to James and Jade's wedding, you know, later in September this year. And part of that celebration will be the meal that we enjoy together here after the wedding ceremony. You know, celebration is God's idea. He's not a killjoy who just wants to work ourselves into an early grave. He's made provision for pleasure and for enjoyment. Dave spoke this morning on Luke 15, and each of those parables ends with a celebration, with a meal, with rejoicing, because what has been lost has now been found. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Think about the parables that he taught about wedding feasts and things like that. The whole idea of celebration and festivals and enjoyment, having a party, it's all God's idea. But perhaps the most important thing that these holy days remind us is that God has to be included in every aspect of our lives. You know, don't go on holiday and leave God at home. Make sure that you take time out of your busy schedules to spend time with him, whether you're at home or whether you're away on holiday. Being thankful for everything that God has done and grateful for his provision, for his protection, and for the peace that he brings.